Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, this guy who's here today, always and forever, John Wayne. That's right, I'm here in Wayne Manor, nestled in the East Wing, in that little crevice and cranny I like to call the Library of Evil, where I concoct all of my wonderful evil things and make this wonderful podcast for you. Welcome. Thank you all for joining me for another episode. I'm just going to let you know right off the top, today is going to be a different kind of episode. This is going to not be a traditional John Wayne Lied to You episode. What I'm actually going to do is I'm going to post one of the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus podcast episodes that is what I release on my Patreon every week. And I'm doing this to kind of show everybody what those podcasts are like. And I'm really trying to build up my Patreon right now. No bones about it. I'm about to hit the road hardcore here in a few weeks, like 3 weeks or so. And, you know, any support that I can get along the way would be very much appreciated. So this is just a sneak peek at what you get when you subscribe to my Patreon on any tier at all. You always get the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus podcast. And what I do in that one is I talk to, as I've said before, all the people that I meet on the road, all of the people that I work with in the arts in Houston and in other parts of the country. I actually am talking to them on this podcast. I talk about them a lot on John Wayne Lied to You, and there'll be names that you know, you're like, hey, I remember you talking about that guy, and oh, here he is, interviewed. You're sitting in having a conversation with him in a hotel room or something. So that's what the podcast is about. So that's what I'm doing this week, is promoting my Patreon and hoping to get some interest in that, and any interest at all, and any support is always very, very much appreciated. But before I go any further, I mean, I have to give some shouts out to those who are already backing the cause, already got Uncle Johnny's back here. Shouts out, major much love to my man Hugo Camacho over there in Barcelona, getting ready to host BizarroCon in Spain. Like, it's crazy. In Barcelona, BizarroCon, I think it's the second or third one they've done. Hugo, you're the man. I love you, dude. Keep it up. Jamie Goker, you know I love you to death. Reading like a crazy person. Jessica Reeves, you're awesome. Always doing it out there. Cody Jacks, my man. I love you to death, dude. Keep it up. Nick Poncio, shouts out to you, you crazy motherfucker. Shannon Bradner, you know what's up. I love you. Shouts out to you. Tim Feely, keep doing it, man. Scarefest, dude, I just found out I'm already booked in Maryland that weekend, so I won't be there in body, but I'll project myself to you for sure. John Rodney, let's get that collarbone healed up, my man. Welcome back to Texas. Thank you, sir, for all your help. Mary Beecher, my Chicago lovely, I appreciate you so much. And another new addition this week, my maza, Judy Madil. Thank you, Mom. I won't shout you out anymore. I know you didn't want me to, but I got to because I love you and I appreciate the support. See, even moms can get in and support their sons, and that's fine. Even if you're a weird tattooed, pot-smoking horror writer, moms still love you, and that's what I have to say. So thank you guys for all your support on that so far. And if you want to join these guys, get your shouts out. I'll definitely even advertise what you're doing. If you're another author, I'll shout out your book or your event. If you're a musician, whatever it is, I will definitely give you a plug. We do have some listeners here, so it should help you out, and it does help me out greatly. Also, another big announcement was my book, The Cycle, came out this week from Grindhouse Press last Saturday on the 4th, and I very much appreciate everyone who scooped it up and checked it out so far. I've been getting a lot of good feedback, a lot of very nice messages and pictures of people posting that they have the book. Thank you so much. So you can go ahead and pick up my new book, The Cycle. It's about witches. It's very witchy, on Grindhouse Press. Now, I am waiting. I should have my box of books here in the next day or so. So keep an eye out. I will post when I have them available from the John Wayne is Dead store on johnwayneisdead.com. Then you can order them from there and I will sign them for you and send you some goodies. I know there were some people who messaged me about when those would be available, and the answer is very soon. It might even, hopefully, when this comes out on Monday, they should be up. If not, then on Tuesday. Also, new spooky metal bookmarks are coming. I sold out of the first 100. There's a brand new design. The first design will never be made again. The new design is coming. So all of these things I've got going on right now and just preparing for the week. It was a pretty good week, or the year ahead of me, I mean. The week that I just had, awesome. It was my wife's birthday this week, and we had a very good time. Just low key went out for some cocktails. She had some friends over to play cards, and I just was obnoxious, running in and out of rooms, drinking and screaming and singing songs. What a time I had. It was fun. And then I just, we had to cancel Neo Benchy this past week. And I wanted to talk about that for a minute. You know, I talk about the Neo Benchy show that I host all the time, the alternative cinema show that we have at the Secret Group here in Houston, the first Tuesday of every month. And what it is, you know, just a real quick explanation. Again, performers take a video clip of any kind, movie, TV, whatever you want it to be, edit it however you want. At 5 minutes or up to 5 minutes, then you will perform live the audio and sound effects that you have rewritten to this clip while we project it live at the show on a screen, and you stand off to the side and do it your thing. And it's awesome. It's funny. It's hilarious. But we've been having some hiccups, man, because we had to cancel this show because so many performers canceled on us like last minute. We're left with two people performing that hadn't canceled day before the show. Like, so, you know, that's just not cool, and it makes the show super hard. It makes us look bad, like we can't put the show on when everyone cancels. It's just, it sucks. So I'm urging anybody that's out there that's doing Neo Benchy and you commit to it, don't cancel. It is easy and fun. Even if you don't feel like you're prepared necessarily and you're nervous, dude, it's just get up there and do it, because people love it, and it's very funny no matter what. And you know, we just can't have people canceling the show, or, you know, the venue is going to cancel the fucking show on us. So that was a little frustrating this week, but we got back on it. We got together, Nick P and Andrew Love and I got together. We got some ideas of the new Frank sketches that we'll be filming for next month and the months ahead. So we did get some good work done on that and, you know, kept going, and we'll keep forging ahead. But man, we got to have new performers stop canceling on us, please. Anyway, that was my only kind of major setback of the week. Otherwise, it's been a really great week. I've been getting my schedule down much more as far as like lining up a routine for myself that I'm staying in with no day job, still just getting it out there and doing it. If you are following me, I've been doing those card of the day tarot readings on my Instagram, and I just recently switched to not switched, but now after they appear on my Instagram, they go to my YouTube account. So I have a YouTube account, John Wayne is Dead. You can check out my card of the day readings there every day. They don't disappear like they do on Instagram. They're there all the time. Plus my adventures with the banana that I have every morning. Check it out if you don't know what I'm talking about. And other videos and promos and stuff that I will have up there on my YouTube page. But if you're into my card of the day tarot readings, they are available on YouTube after they're up on Instagram. So check that out and subscribe to my YouTube channel as well, please and thank you. So, like I said, just gonna be a different episode this week. I'm not gonna do a three card reading this morning before the show, because I feel like that is a John Wayne Lied to You type thing. And this is, I'm giving you the presentation of what it's like to have an Awesome Dude for Life podcast in your ear holes, when you sign up for the Patreon. So, without further ado, we're going to go and jump right into this. We're going to go right into it. So, this podcast, the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus podcast that I'm going to play for you right now, was recorded a few weeks ago in Florida with my very good friend and very talented, awesome author, David W. Barbie. We had an excellent conversation on Jekyll Island in a seedy motel room one night after the convention, and we talked about the ups and downs. And David is, like I've said before, he's one of the, you know, OGs in the bizarro writing community. And he's just always been somebody who I've looked up to and has inspired me. And now we're very good friends and I love him to death. So without further ado, check it out. Thank you guys so much. Please check out my Patreon if you want more content like this, plus other kind of great things that I offer. Patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. Even if you want to give a one-time donation, you can. If you want to get on a tier, you can. It all helps. I'm about to hit it so hard this year. If you go to johnwayneisdead.com and go to the shows page, you can see just part of my schedule for this year's posted. It's a lot of dates and it's a lot of traveling, and most of that traveling I will have to do by car. So it's just anything helps, you know, put some gas in the tank, puts a little bit of food in my belly and gets me to the next place because I'm doing it. I will drive myself into the ground and go into the poorhouse doing this. And I'd rather not do either of those things, but I am dedicated and I'm doing it, you know, and any help, even just the support of you can do it, is super much appreciated for me. So anyway, without further ado, here we are, myself and David Barbie, the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus Podcast, your little sneak peek, and I'll be back at the end. Thanks, guys, so much. And welcome to another edition of the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus Podcast, available only to my Patreon subscribers. So thank you guys so much for signing up for the Patreon. Your support means a lot to me, especially on days like this. I'll tell you what, and we'll get into that. But so like I said, I've said before, you know, if you listen to John Wayne Lie to You, that's just me talking about stories and stuff, and I talk about a lot of people that I meet out there, and I name names. Oh, I name names. And, you know, when I tell you stories about the people that I meet, and I'll reference people, and now with this podcast, I have a chance to actually, I'm talking to those people, and we're having a conversation so that you can, the lovely people out there can meet these wonderful people that I know, and the people who have inspired me and who are awesome and that you should know about. And this fine gentleman sitting across from me, who will be sleeping across from me hours from now, unless we push these beds together and get freaky.
One bed of two.
this gentleman is has many books out there. He's a big swinging dick in the bizarro genre. A Town Called Suckhole, Thunder Pussy,
all classics.
Taters and Jimbo Yojimbo, Pork Fried Bastard.
Bacon Fried Bastards.
Bacon Fried Bastards, yes. I like that one. I could go on for, we'll talk about all of them, but you know him, you love him, you want to be inside of him. David W. Barbie, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Or Barb Wire. Barbie, you are we are actually on because yes. That's how I've said, we are on Jekyll Island, which is a part of Georgia.
Ankle deep in Georgia, right?
I thought that we were in Florida for the whole last year when I was at the convention. I thought we were in Florida. And then I thought that this was in Florida up until 2 weeks ago when I checked how long the drive was, and I was like, oh, Georgia. But from me driving from Houston, you know, I drive pretty much the panhandle of Florida fucking way, here until
the Redneck Riviera,
all of a sudden, that's what it's called? Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. But it's and then all of a sudden you're like, oops, now we're going to Georgia.
Well, if you want to, you know, bypass the northern part of Florida, I guess, for some reason.
Yeah. But this is an island off the coast of Georgia. It's fucking weird. I've talked about this on John Wayne Lied to You when I was at this convention last year, and I might have referenced it, but this island is fucking creepy as hell. We might both become pod people tonight. I'm not sure, but I'm just trying to paint a picture for you listening. It's bizarre. It is the people here are dead or were dead, or this island burned down 15 years ago type thing. Everything has its own Jekyll Island brand to it. There's no regular places. Grubhub does not deliver to anywhere on the island. No place will come.
It is forbidden.
It is fucking forbidden. But we were here, Barbie here and myself, or Barb Wire if you're nasty.
Yeah.
Tabling together at the Jekyll and Hyde Horror and Comic Convention Con. Con not gonna work here anymore. That's so that's what we're here for.
It was a sad today.
But
it was a wasteland.
Well, It was, I mean, I don't know.
A wasteland of bumpy faces.
It was
fuzzy costumes and not as many drunk people as I would have liked.
I drank 10 beers.
I appreciate you for picking up the slack, John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that you can always be dependent on to do that anyway.
I drank 10 Coors Lights.
Yeah.
We counted them all up. And now I'm drinking these Terrapin Tall Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Hopsecutioner. Yeah. I'm drinking them. Oh, Athens, Georgia. I'm supporting them local boys.
That's at my local Ingles, actually.
Yeah. Ooh.
I can buy that.
What does that sound like? Sounds like a racist grocery store.
You might be right about that.
I don't know.
He was a man at the time.
He looked like a man.
There's a black picture of him somewhere.
Oh, my goodness. But so this convention today was, it was just in one day. It was a one-dayer.
Yeah.
Last year it was a two-dayer, which I also thought that was weird because it's usually three. But, you know, we'll be honest. We can talk more about this, you know. No, I don't. Nobody's blaming or naming names, but
oh no, these things happen.
I don't know what happened, but apparently a lot of vendors canceled.
Yeah,
like he said. I was told we were told 19 upon walking
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
he said 19 vendors canceled.
Yeah,
or didn't pay their thing or whatever, just like pulled out.
So a solid third of the room was just completely void, completely empty.
Yeah, I mean, but hearing that, and he's like, so you can probably spread out or whatever. I didn't think it was going to be as small. When we walked in, I was like, oh, shit. There's, like, barely any table. It was pretty, you know, if you were out there or, you know, if you did come and you happened to be subscribing to my Patreon, thank you, first of all. But if you were there, like, you know what time it is. Like, it was just sparse, slim pickings, man. Everybody was cool that we met and talked to.
Yeah,
there absolutely. Just weren't that many people to meet or talk to.
Yeah.
I played songs for people.
It was a hit, as always.
You were, you know, the barbed wire charm was in full effect. It was.
So many nerdy chicks just nibbling at me.
Yeah, oh, I don't even. Anyway, this comic convention was full of nerds. Nerds! Wait a second. This comic, it was very odd. But, you know, all nerds aside, you know, I know... I met you through BizarroCon.
Yeah.
6 years ago, or I guess seven now.
It was that year that it snowed. That was when we first met.
2013.
I remember because the snow was like so beautiful when we first met.
Oh my God, our first kiss.
Yeah. At the bottom of that staircase. Yeah.
The ad house. No, like, so you were, you know, one of the first people I met. There, like that first year, and you were always very cool to me, and I was always like, this guy's a cool guy, and like, you know, you'd already had a few books under your belt then. This was six years ago. You have a new Bizarro book, right? Are you a new Bizarro author series author?
I was, like, you know,
way back, yeah,
first,
but
invented it, yeah.
But you were, yeah, you have, yeah,
yeah.
But you are a new Bizarro author, yeah. So you like had that and some books and like. Not only that, you were always very cool and accepting. Like, I was just a fucking asshole just there, like, hey, look at me. I'm John Wayne. I don't know anybody, but I've got a leather jacket, you know?
I always try to project, like, a Mr. Rogers-like friendliness to everyone I meet. So that way everyone feels welcome, at least.
Well, and that's fine. But when people are doing that and it's disingenuous, I pick up on that. And you, sir, were not disingenuous. But not only being accepting to them, like, we formed a bond. We actually became friends, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would see you every year. And then we, you know, online talking. But then it was, what, 2.5 years ago or so that...
Days of the Dead.
Days of the Dead.
I
but,
can't remember
but,
which one of us signed up for
But
it
before
first.
That, wasn't it Scares at Care, right?
Yes.
So, and that was my first convention.
We were both there just for no reason at all.
Just like, well, I had like a quasi reason. I kind of like, I didn't invite myself. I asked, I saw Carrie and Andy, CB Hunt, Grindhouse Press. She posted like, we're tabling, you know, we're going to try this for the first time, da da da. And I was already in my head thinking about like, man, you know, maybe I should start doing conventions and stuff. Like I was looking at it online, looking at other people, you know, in our circle, like doing cons, and I was like, maybe I should start doing this. And I saw that, and they were already publishing Death Packs, so it was coming out, but it wasn't going to be out yet when that was there. So I hit them up and I was like, hey, do you guys need any help? Like, I would love to come and help at the booth and this and that. So that's how I kind of like weaseled my way in there. And which was cool because also like I'd probably only met, them once in the flesh, IRL.
Yeah.
That's in real life, if you will. But I did talk to, when the first time I met them, I talked to Carrie for like 2 hours about like Seinfeld and music and books and crazy shit. So we did hit it off, but I was like, what if I show up and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this weirdo? And they hate me. They didn't. We clicked and it was all good. But I remember that like we were upstairs and I saw you walk into our room and I was like, Barbie! And I like, we gave like hugged in the middle of the room. Big ass hug. It was great to see you. And then I almost kind of did the same thing to you because you posted like a, maybe a couple months after that, like, tabling at Days of the Dead in, you know, Georgia.
I got the first table.
Yeah, you got the table. And I messaged you and I was like, and I messaged you and I said, hey, man, are you going to Days of the Dead in Atlanta? And you said, yeah, are you? And I was like, well. And I pitched, I was like, how would you like to split the table? I would love to come. And you were all about it, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then we actually had the, you know, Lombardo got in.
And what's great is that you leached onto me so well that Lombardo was able to leech onto me through you. And we had like this leeching threesome.
When you say leech, like it's a bad thing. You know?
Oh, no, I love a good leeching.
Oh.
I love a good bloodletting.
Whoa. He said leeching. Anyway, but that was like the, you know, and start of a beautiful thing, you know, but we've tabled a few times together now. And it's awesome, but yeah, you've always been an awesome dude, I think. So thank you for that. Yeah. And you're extremely talented, inspiring, like I said. I love all your books, that the ones that I've read. I've not read them all. So
there's too many.
There's never too many. There's more. But like, you know, I was talking about Bacon Fried Bastard. That one was awesome. That one's about like lay out some of this stuff. Tell me about Bacon Fried Bastard, one of
my
favorites.
That one in specific. All right.
That's on Eraserhead Press.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It came out, I think, 2017, 2016, something like that. Mm. It's basically this weird, surreal steampunk crime story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mixture of Breaking Bad, where this guy gets to create illicit substances for gangsters and gets involved in that sort of stuff. But it's also Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde via alcohol. You know, this guy...
We're on Jekyll Island.
And this is where John Wayne comes in. On Jekyll Island.
Oh, I was saying Jekyll Island. Yeah.
Well, just because you happen to be drinking a beer right now. But this guy, when he drinks, he turns into a completely different guy.
Right.
And
he's also a pig.
He becomes a big, weird freaking pig.
Yeah.
Like a big, crazy Sin City style bruiser, bad motherfucker guy.
And, So you write, I would say, like, you write in the bizarro genre primarily, would you say? Or what would you say?
The thing is...
It's hard to nail that down.
It's hard for everybody to
But you also, like, but you have, like, a style of, like, what were we calling it? Like, redneck fucking, what was it? Something like that.
Redneck, well...
Bizarro or...
Redneck noir's been taken.
What did like, we say? Because we were saying, like, when we were in Atlanta without Lombardo, we were like, he's got the redneck and I have the Satan. Or something. What were we saying? God damn it. Because like Suckhole is like, Town Called Suckhole is like, you nail all those characters and that.
Yeah, that did so well that I wrote Jimbo Yojimbo, not the same type of book, but.
Along also, the same lines. Yeah. With that kind of style. But yeah, it is hard to nail down.
I sometimes call it deep fried freakazoid.
Okay, you know.
You know, and I think every author out there, every artist out there is trying to create some sort of brand. It's really an individual brand.
That sounds and like so a Power Speed Boner Metal or something like
that.
Oh, you listen to the Power Speed Boner Metal band? Like, what?
It's not really a genre. It's just that one guy.
Well,
you know.
But then it becomes a genre. That's the thing. You're like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, of course I listen.
It becomes an ingredient for other people to use as well. And they can mix it with what they have individually.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's trying to become one unique brand. Even though I would say that you and I definitely are underneath the Bizarro umbrella as far as the weirdness level inside our fiction.
It is a good way. We do fall. If there's a Venn diagram.
Yes.
We definitely are in the part mm-hmm. that intersects in, like, you know, we're in a bizarro part.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are like my roots. I came up in the bizarro community, and that's like...
So did they, I. They, I mean...
They taught me everything I, you know, all my foundational knowledge of all this stuff.
That's how I mean...
You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the way I started. I didn't know where to even fucking publish my work until I discovered what bizarro was and started reading... You know, I've told the story a billion times. Jeremy Robert Johnson, you know, he was my fucking whoa, what is this all about? And then from there, you know, I just, you know, a few years later, I've completely blown my life apart. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go to this bizarro con by myself and check it out. And it was probably the best thing I ever did because look at me now, kids.
Yeah.
Look at me now.
And it's still going strong today. I mean,
what?
BizarroCon. I mean, they still had one.
We still had it. We were here this year. Yeah, it
was last month. Yeah.
What did they call that, a BizarroCon, though? I thought it was just the
awards.
I'm not
sure if it was a ceremony.
I think it was just a ceremony. It was something, but it didn't matter. We still had one this year.
And it took place.
It was last. It was this year in January.
Yeah.
Remember? So it's still this year.
Well, yeah.
And then probably in 2020, maybe they'll have it in November again.
Possibly.
We'll see. Stay tuned.
I think I might have heard that somewhere.
I think I did hear that. Through the grapevine
from
somebody. Maybe I signed an NDA, but I'm so naughty, especially for my Patreons. This is a scoop. Yes, BizarroCon next year.
Boom.
You didn't hear it from me. But but don't take my word for it, LeVar Burton, Reading Rainbow. So where do you live in Georgia? You live in Georgia. I'm drinking these beers like crazy.
I'm in Central Georgia.
Okay, did you say Macon before?
I tell people Macon because it's actually a smaller, very smaller town outside of Macon.
Right.
Forsyth.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's how Houston is a lot. Like, people would be like, I live in Houston. Like, when I meet people.
And what they mean is, like, one of the suburbs around it.
Yeah, because I met, like, some guys, I think I was clowning on these guys before, but at KillerCon, one of the guys was like, Keen was like, hey, oh, John Wayne, this guy, he's from Houston as well. And I was like, oh, cool, man. What part of town are you from? He's like, oh, I live in the Woodlands. I said, you do not live in Houston at all then. He's like, well, it's just easier to say. And I was like, well, it may be easier to say, but you're not in Houston. Yeah. You're the farthest thing. The Woodlands is a corporation. Houston's tried to annex that, but it's fucking weird. And it's so far north anyway. Anyway, I don't want to get into this, but... So you're in
But if he Macon, says he Georgia. Comes from Woodland, Texas, he sounds like he's from King of the Hill.
The Woodlands.
Woodlands, Texas.
I don't fucking care, man. Like, you know what?
Punctuation.
Own it. Because you're like, you know, you're not from, you're not from Houston.
He needs to rep the Woodlands better.
Hey, I told you how I love Houston. And you can rep it, but just don't say you live in the city if you don't live in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast.
He got his card pulled, John Wayne. You pulled his card.
Oh, I pulled it.
Yeah.
I pulled it hard. I pulled that card hard in front of Brian Keene. It was a Keene face hard card pull. And slam. Boy, did he have egg on his face.
Ho, ho.
That was fun. That was a funny night. Shortly after that, anyway, I'm going with you, but this is how it works. We just talk. I'm free flowing, dude. I'm slamming these beers. I got these Hop Terrapin beers. I told you that now I was going to drink a beer I could catch a buzz off of. Plus, Bottle Bong. Oh. Yes, you know, I've talked about the Bottle Bong. We hit it, and we quit it. No, we did not. We are on a hiatus. It's not
brilliant.
It's not, I don't think about it as like, in terms of like, I'm going to smoke Bottle Bong. It's like, how am I gonna, you know, I'm eternally smoking Bottle Bong, but taking some breaks in between. Like, now, like, that's what I'm doing.
Life
like,
is what happens
in between bottle bong. Dude. Fuck you, take and my money, Bottle Bong.
And that's not even the only like transcendent thing that you've shown me.
Well,
today, I don't want to jump too far ahead.
Oh, we can transcend all we want. But I was gonna say, shortly after I pulled that guy's card hard, I think what were they talking about? Somebody they had been talking about getting blackout drunk.
Yeah,
and
Keen, Brian Keen, for the listeners, he said, well, I bet John Wayne has a good story about getting blackout drunk. And I said, well, I do. Do you want to hear about...
He started counting.
I said, do you want to hear like a good blackout story, or do you want to hear about the last time I was blacked out, which was this past Friday? Yeah. And he was like, oh, let's hear about the fucking this one. So like, there's all these people in, because Killer Con, you know, you were the... Were
no, you, I was not. No, you weren't there. Everyone thinks I was at Killer Con.
It's like the Mandela effect, dude. Yeah. Are you sure you weren't there? Something happened.
I keep getting ignored and acknowledged for weird reasons.
Has there been some kind of shift in the Matrix or something? Who knows? Anyway, so there's all these people, and we're in this like the room where they party, and it's just like basically two hotel rooms, you know, with the adjoining rooms open. You know, they're bigger, but it's like a lot of people packed in. So, you know, I'm standing there, and he's like, yeah, tell me the one that just happened. You just blacked out. And I was like, okay, well, so, I should stop in this table. I was like, so this job I work at, sometimes we have like this, you know, like a drug dealer that comes by, like that'll text and be like, hey, I'm going to stop. You know, what is that? You know, do you need something? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like an ice cream man type situation. And they send you the menu. And so I got the menu, and it was like, oh, there's white girl on there. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to party this weekend. So I bought, you know, I bought 2 20s of blow from the lady at lunch. And then, so of course I started doing it then. And then I went home, and then we started drinking at lunch, with, you know, and then I went home and, just like kept drinking beers and doing bumps and went out. Kate, my wife and I went to like a brewery and went to another bar, and then we went to, the Secret Group. And then I got it was emo night and they wouldn't play Brand New. And I got really upset because they wouldn't play Brand New anymore. And then like, we left and, Katie, and that was, I don't remember, like, that was when everything started to get bad. Like, I don't remember
time
leaving
slipping.
The club, but, you know, according to Katie, you know, she took me home, and, where I just made this, you know, argued the whole way, made, you know, not arguing with her, just making this argument for Brand New, the band, and just like, while listening to it, and how my outrage, and, you know, we go home. And I'm like half like passing out and demand that she goes and gets me Taco Bell, which she does for some reason. And she said, yeah, I like ate all this Taco Bell and I have no recollection of any of it. And then like, but I tell it and everyone's just like, you could hear like half the room's assholes tighten up the second I said, so I bought this Coke at lunch. And I was like, ooh, know your audience?
Yeah.
And you are not from Houston, my friend. But I don't know. I forget that some people aren't
the other half
normal. Like, yeah,
want to party with that guy.
They're like, do you have any on you? but anyway, that's, I don't even know why we were talking about that. This is about you, dude.
Yeah, what are we talking
so
about?
So you
now?
Live in Make. So you live in close to Macon.
Yeah,
and
historic Macon, Georgia, Forsyth, Georgia. It's basically like cop land. There's lots of cops there. There's a training center for cops.
Really,
cops from all over the state.
What?
To my town. Yeah, yeah. It's been good for the economy, man. Lots more chicken shacks have opened up since.
Barbershops that just give crew cut, like, or just give like flat tops and shit. A lot of mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
A lot of Crown Victoria repair. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You got them. Oh, that's the
Crown
place to move.
Everywhere.
Hey, if you're a Crown Vic head, you got to move to not Macon, but wherever
Forsyth,
you're
Georgia.
Forsyth.
Yeah.
Forsyth, Georgia. That's fucking crazy.
So it's a nice place to raise.
Is it fun? Like, are they fun cops, like Super Troopers, or?
I don't know. I do not interact with them.
I wonder if
it fucks with the police.
So you know how sometimes,
except for the couple that I do fuck with. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I fucks with the police.
Yeah.
So you know how sometimes when you do something and like you get a warning if you're a white person, like like for some stupid shit that you definitely should have gotten in trouble for.
Yeah.
Like, is that even a thing in your town? Because they're all learning is like they have to make any, like they can't make any exceptions. Like if you fuck up, you're going, buddy.
The most recent interaction I had with a cop actually was when I was speeding like late at night, caught me. I was legit speeding. And so I'm like in my car and we're pulled over like in the fucking dead of night. on a back road, no lights anywhere. I think we were actually in front of somebody's log cabin that was up on a hill, so maybe they could see us.
Jesus.
But yeah, this guy could have, like, killed me on a dark road if he wanted.
Did he ask you to give him a kiss or something? No, like, Would you give me a kiss on the mouth, please? So
he has all of his spotlights showing on me, and I'm, like, in there trying to fucking get my wallet out of my thing, turn my ignition off and do all this other shit, and then he starts yelling at me through his loudspeakers, like, you know, put your fucking hands out the window. You know, you're moving around a lot. And I was like, hands right out the window, sir. Because I was also trying to roll down the window while I was also doing all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like, but I think, you know, I honestly think when he saw that my hands were white.
White, yeah.
He was like, all right, we're going to chill out on this a little bit.
But he was still kind of a hard ass about it the rest of the time. This is recognizing privilege, by the way. Don't think we're being assholes about
it. No, I'm just being aware of what it is, man.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely what it is.
I don't even remember what he looked like, because I'm not the type who's going to fucking look up at him. I'm just like, yes, sir. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I told my white privilege story on John Wayne Lied to You, like, where I ran out of all my white privilege, and it was a Hispanic cop.
Oh, yeah.
But he fucking let me off like a motherfucker. If you want to know that story, check out whatever episode that is. It's called I Used Up All My White Privilege on John Wayne Lied to You.
It's on the files.
It's on there, yeah. But they do give you warnings.
Yeah,
they will.
They're,
like,
pretty cool. Yeah, and most of, like, they're from some other county or they're from some other town.
They're not
there to get into some bullshit with people.
Do they live there, like, bunks? Like, they bunk there?
They do. They do. Yeah.
So then, what do they do? What are the cops in training partying doing? What are they doing? What do they blow off steam?
Here's what you got to do:
play beach volleyball or something, or what?
Oh man, it's like you haven't even seen like Police Top Gun. Academy. Go to 1984 or 5, maybe, whichever year it was, and watch Police Academy with Steve Guttenberg. It's a classic. It's exactly like that.
Barbie, I am quite aware of
Are you a Police Academy fan?
I actually have a shirt that Nick P. bought me from Atomic Cotton, I believe. Yeah, yes. Shouts out, guys. It's Police Academy 4. And it's like all like just crazy. And
another thing we can bond over. Awesome. Good.
And this was something also that I've said this before, but I'll tell you, Nick and I were driving to fucking somewhere. Yeah. He was driving. It was maybe Charlotte or something, but it was the middle of the night. It's fucking like, we're on a 2-lane, you know, highway. It's probably like 3:30 in the morning, pitch black, no lights. Yeah. Nick's driving, and he listens to all kind of fucking weird music all the time.
Yeah.
But he puts on, like, does something, puts some music, comes on. The Police Academy theme plays. So it's like, dun, 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 dun. And so I'm like, all right, cool. And, like, you know, we listen to the theme, and it, you know, it ends, and the next song starts, and it's dun, 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 the same. It's the Police Academy theme, and I'm
like 12 tracks,
and I'm just listening because I'm like, okay, let me just see, maybe this is like some weird thing where it's going to turn into like the circuit bend version or some like the MIDI version or something.
Oh,
but
the remix.
No, so it's the same thing.
Yeah,
and then it you know, it ends. And then it starts like, dan, 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 dan. So we're driving out. We're just in this pitch black road, just driving. Yeah. No, like, and listening to the Police Academy theme over and over again. I just turned to Nick and I was like, you realize that this is what psychopaths do, right? We are exhibiting the behavior. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I like Police Academy. Yeah, we all do.
I'll take what a psychopath would say.
It was fun. I do like Police Academy.
Yeah.
But
it was like that. They're you know, average goofballs like anybody else. It's like people in the military.
So you're telling me that when they give a speech, like a press conference, then there's like a lady in the thing, what do they call that?
Oh, the
podium.
The podium, yes.
Like giving a beach too, because that happened.
That did happen. Only if you're the commissioner of police, I think.
Yeah.
I think you have to be pretty high ranking. Maybe a captain or a lieutenant might get that. How about a major too?
That's Gutenberg.
Everybody over
Steve
corporal.
Gutenberg, right?
Yeah.
He was in Chicago. That's right. Like, I just like that, I'll put that, I just like remember that, like,
did you see him?
What God, is he like? Yeah, dude. He was okay. So
his
Michael
face all pinned back.
He's Botox. Weird. He's weird. Michael Allen Rose and I were tabling there at Days of the Dead in Chicago a few weeks ago, and they were he and Sato were on the first Patreon episode I did.
Yeah.
But like he was catty corner like to us, but he had they had this curtain that was set up that blocked the front of him and the other side of him, but from where we were, we just were like, "What's up, Goot?" And we kept saying like, "Hey, looks like we have a pretty Goot view of the Goot." And he was he wore like this like a cap, like a baseball style cap or whatever, but it was like salmon, that salmon pink. I don't know what it was, like a golf thing or something. And he was wearing like a suit, but it was like a khaki colored suit or something, or a blue shirt.
So he's going for like a Miami Vice type of look. It's weird.
But then he was wearing white gloves. Like, he wore gloves the whole time. Like, not touching, like, anybody with his hands for real and shit. He wore gloves the whole time. And he walked by a table a couple times, like, and, you know, just, like, to go to the bathroom. And, you know, he gave us a nod. And, you know, we were like, all right, Goot's cool with us. He's got, Goot's got, we're Goot with Goot, you know. But, yeah, he was
interesting.
I was like, what's with these gloves, dude?
Yeah. Germaphobe, maybe.
This curtain, too. Like, who do you think you are? We need a curtain, you know? Because, so we can come out from behind it and be like, ta-da! You know, because it's fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was weird. Some people are weird.
I've seen other celebrities behind curtains at these cons we do. But only at the big ones.
Some of the, like the big people, like, God, there's certain, at that Wizard World, for all the celebrity photo ops, actually, they had them in a separate, it was this weird, like, curtained in just big square that they made, like, in the middle of just an area, you know, because it's a big convention floor.
Yeah.
And it was all just curtained off, and you would, like, wait in line outside of that and go inside there and take the picture and then go out the back, like, so no one else, no one can, like, walk by and be taking pictures.
It's like sheep being moved through a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
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 Except they pay money and there's a picture.
I guess.
With your hero. If your hero is Steve Gutenberg or something.
Or, that's hero. Okay.
I've seen, at some of these shows, hero. Man, the lines.
Did it for Roy? See? I'm not telling you, if Roy shows up, I'm losing my fucking mind. The cool thing about that one was like the Fonz was there. Henry Winkler was at this one.
Oh yeah,
and he is one of my heroes for.
Yeah, see, he probably had a huge line.
He did.
Yeah, remember when we were at a show with Elvira?
I mean, what,
the chick who played Elvira? We were at a show that she was at, and the line went right past our table. Right,
Cassandra. Yeah, yes. Yeah. She's at a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Now she doesn't really. She'll do, like, Elvira in costume for, like, one of the days. Or, like, for...
Oh, yeah, she was
a couple hours, like, on Saturday, there's, like, in costume. But otherwise, she's just, like, herself now.
Yeah,
What were we talking about?
Winkler. Henry Winkler.
Yeah, dude. And I said, like, I washed my hands next to him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I just kind of, you know, we just acknowledged that we were next to each other, and I was like, I'm not going to say anything to him.
That's more than I got from one of my heroes. Because I took a piss next to Keith David. That scares the care. Keith David's, he's the black dude from They Live. He's the one who fought Roddy Piper in the...
my God.
And he's the voice in so many different cartoons.
He was at Scares?
He was at Scares, yeah. He's like a smaller dude than you would think. But anyway, so he's at the urinal, right? And they got these little... walls, these brackets in between each urinal, so he's like kind of standing there, right? Already got plenty of privacy.
Yes,
I walk past him and go like three urinals down.
Yeah.
And what does he do is like he puts his arm like up on the bracket, up on the little wall, and like leans away from me, like, you know, to show me his back, like he's shunning me, you know? And this is Keith David. I love this guy. This guy's awesome. Like his voice is like the voice of God to me. Fuck Morgan Freeman. Keith David all the way.
Who does he do voices for?
He does the president on Rick and Morty. He did Goliath on the Gargoyles cartoon. If anyone's ever seen that, if you're a dork like me, and just like so many, he's always doing this voice. You know, he's like the new James Earl Jones.
And if you haven't seen They Live, that's fine. I'm not going to yell at you. Watch it. But I will say this: Google, or I mean, like YouTube, the fight scene that Barbie's talking about.
Yeah.
Because it is epic and it goes on for fucking ever. It's like a 13, I don't know, how, maybe even longer than that. It's so fucking long, dude. It just goes on forever. Yeah.
I think it's like a solid seven minutes, and it's just,
they just keep fighting. Yeah. It's pretty badass.
Actually watching it, it just keeps you on the edges of your seat the whole time. So it's a long 7 minutes.
Well, they beat the fuck out of each other. Yeah. And then at the end, they like walk away. You know, they end up like, oh, he looks, finally gets the glasses on him. The scene just stops,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit, you were right.
Well,
you
on to the next scene.
And they're like, dude, no, you guys have probably like major internal bleeding. Yeah. Pretty sure that you have some kind of brain hemorrhaging. Yeah. Also, like,
there's some apologies that need to be said.
Yeah, exactly. Because they
the nut shots.
Beat the fuck out of each other and just kept fighting. It's an epic scene. So definitely at least watch that scene. But yeah. So this guy gave you the back in the urinal, like as if you were going to start talking to him.
Something at the like urinal. That.
I didn't even really. Like, yeah, that's. Yeah.
It's weird. Maybe.
I don't talk to any of the celebrities if I run into them. No, I just don't. No. Because I'm like, that's not whatever. But especially in the bathroom. Like, fucking, first of all, he's the Fonz.
Yeah.
And like, you know, also he's the doctor in, you know, Parks and Rec as of, you know, recently. And I like his character, Dr. Saperstein is who he plays. Yeah. And I like his character, but mostly because I love John Ralphio, who Ben Schwartz plays. And who's that? Is that Jen Kirkman? Like, who plays his sister,
Jenny Slate.
That's it. Yes, Jenny Slate. She is Jen Kirkman. What the fuck am I thinking? She
has some weird name, like Mona Lisa something.
Her name is, oh man, you just made me forget it by saying it. She's the worst,
That.
Like, so I wanted to, you know, I wanted to say, like, there's many things I could have ran through my head. I could have been like, I wanted to be like, hey, or I wanted to be like,
oh yeah,
hey, I love the Fonz is my shit, man. Look. I got a leather jacket too. But I also just wanted to also be like, money, please. Money, please. Money, please. Like they do, like the John Ralphio and fucking, what's her name, do? Yeah. All kinds of things. I could
have seen. Have you seen Barry? If you love Winkler,
who
you love Barry. Barry. It's on HBO, but it's like Bill Hader plays a hitman, but he wants to be an actor.
Oh, I've heard of that. I saw the commercial for it, actually.
Hilarious, yet also very sad, yet hilarious acting coach.
And I've seen, I've heard the premise for this.
It's really good. Henry Winkler's fucking amazing in it. Like, he's not just funny.
Well, he's the Fonz.
And very handsome. Yeah.
You know, he jumped the shark.
Yeah, first. He did jump the shark.
This is the first one.
Which doesn't even count as jumping the shark, you know, if it was the first time it was done.
It was the, what do you call that? The, ultimate pen? No, what's the first thing that something happens? I don't know. Fuck, I'm a writer, but I don't know.
I should
words.
Know this, but I'm you not, should know. I ain't offering shit. You're like, I am not confident. In
and
my
you
knowledge.
Should just say no. You should say like, you should know this, John Wayne, and I won't tell you.
Yes, this is a teaching moment for John Wayne
again. But so what do you got coming down the pipe, man? We were talking about this earlier.
Oh,
you got
awesome.
Some stuff coming out.
First, I have two books come out. Well, I had one book come out like earlier this year. Uh-huh. Laser House on the Prairie.
Yes. It's still awesome. Another one of my favorites of yours.
Right now I'm working. I've had a bunch of short stories published the last year or two. That's been coming along. Like
you were in the Weird Punks anthology, a couple of them, right?
Zombie Punks Fuck Off and another one. And Breaking Bizarro.
I was in that.
Yeah, I'm going to send something to the next Death's Head anthology because I really like those guys. They're really cool. I just got into Forbidden Futures recently.
Yeah, and, which is the magazine that Cody Goodfellow and Daniel Rehnquist run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool magazine. You should check that out for sure.
A lot of beautiful artwork in there. It's really great stuff. And I'm working on two novels right now, for one for Accession and one for Bizarro Pulp Press.
But Laser House was the first thing that Accession Press put out, is that right?
Yeah.
And that, then they're relatively new on the scene, run by like our good friends Carl and Whitney.
Yep.
The Fishers. Shouts out Carl Fisher, also an author of note.
Yeah.
New Bizarro author as well, right?
Yeah. He should have another book coming out soon too.
If it's about fucking blackbirds, I swear to God.
I'm still trying to convince him to do it.
Okay.
I think he wants to, but he just...
All right, we'll see.
We just have to really bully him and peer pressure him into doing
The black bird. We'll see.
Doing what he already knows is right.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta... Anyway, that's a horse of a different color. Shouts out Carl and Whitney, Accession Press. They're out of Denver. And they just put out Nick Day's fucking novel, and it's doing great. Yeah,
Grind Your Balls to Dust.
Yeah.
And that's, like, taking over, man.
Taking over what?
It's just everywhere. It's, like, it's getting so many different reviews. So many people are reading it.
Great.
And it's...
You know what should take over?
What?
It should take over the hotel Bibles. Instead of the Bibles, you get Nick Day's book.
You know? That would be an excellent strategy.
I would much
rather read Nick Day.
I would, you know, and also
in my CD hotel room.
And also, I would rather have a surprise.
Yes.
You know, why do we always have to have the Bible in here? Like, this in this drawer, I've already looked. There's a Bible in here. And then, like, a Yellow Pages for some fucking reason. Like the Jekyll Island that. Yellow Pages.
That's another podcast.
I need to know the numbers for, like, the 14 places here. Like, it requires a whole book.
Yeah.
This
is like if the suburbs had a god and it was personified, and that god bent over and squatted down over the side of Georgia and took a shit, the pile of shit of suburbs would be Jekyll Island. Does that sound fair? Like, it's like a big suburb.
I don't know,
that's
because
been digested into itself.
Because
I
don't,
like,
know,
parking lots and
suburb
shit everywhere.
But it's not sidewalks. Suburb in my mind. I picture very much like a.
Well, it's,
you know, the track houses and stuff like that. I don't think anybody lives here, do they? Are there houses out here?
I think they do. Yeah.
If there are...
I think some of these buildings are apartment places, not hotels.
Fucking maybe. I don't know. People have to live here.
Yeah.
People have to live here for sure. But at least this part, it's not suburban. It's just pod people. It's weird. Yeah.
It's like
fake.
A
it's a facade.
It's a big piece of suburb. We're going to get off this island, goddammit, John.
I don't know, man.
The last thing
I'm telling you, look behind that ironing board. There may already be a pod hanging on the end there, man. I'm telling you. I don't fucking know.
Well, I'm going to sleep with the covers over my head. That's how I'll be safe from monsters. That's what I always thought worked.
Yeah. Well, pay no attention to...
it's worked so far in all the CD hotels I've been in.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, just if you hear any any weird noises, you know, or any kind of like a moaning or like any kind of like slapping sounds, just keep the blanket over your head.
Will do. No problem.
Because that means I'm jerking off. One time I was at a, you know, I did speech tournaments like in high school and shit. I was a theater guy, oral interp, like all that shit, like going to speech tournaments and doing, like, you know, my scenes.
Yeah.
And we went to this one speech tournament out of town. It was I think it was Gregory, Portland, which is in like the Corpus Christi area. So we had to stay overnight, you know, that's a big deal. And so we're like staying, and there's like, man, you know, everyone's like assigned, I think, like four to a room. But then once you get there, like, everyone's like, I'm staying in your room. So we had, like, I think we had, like, five people stay in our room. But one of the guys, like, was going to fuck one of the, like, debater chicks that night. And he was like, all right, guys, just chill. I'm going to fuck this chick in the bed. Like, and the one guy that was supposed to be in the bed was like, well, what am I supposed to do? And he's, like, slept in, like, the chair, like, that, you know, the random chair that's in your hotel room. I'm in the other bed with one of the other guys, my friend, and, like, he's just, like, fucking this chick in the other bed. I mean, what a time, right?
What a time.
What a time, man. I don't know. We have many crazy times in hotel
rooms.
That's
incredible.
Also, we went to...
the psychological ramifications of that, I cannot even begin to fathom.
We also went to another out-of-town one that was... maybe that was... Gregory Portland... Oh, that one was in Austin. Okay, the one was in Austin. Gregory Portland is in the Corpus, so we were down in, like, It was like a beach kind of motel, you know, type of thing. And somebody had like fucking shot themselves in one of the rooms the first night we got to. We were all there, like so. There's like whole like you know debate oral intern team, and like we didn't hear it, but like the the next day, you know, we're walking around. There's like it's like a crime scene, you know, and tape and everything. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? What and like they have the door open, and it is. Like you know, the you know just, this like behind like my like I'm pointing to like behind my headboard. Like you could see like it was not a good
You could see the spray of it. Wall.
And we're like, oh shit! We kept walking by, and it was fucking.
You see the body with the sheet over it, like being carted out.
We didn't see the body taken out, but we just saw all the scene and the blood and. Like man. Anyway, moral of that story is going out of town when you're in high school for. Speech tournaments rules. We also went to Boston one year, my senior year, to Harvard for a convention or a convention tournament in Harvard.
Yeah.
My junior year. That's when I was junior. And the only like fucked up thing that people did there was like some people all got in one room and just ordered like our fucking coach. She was such a square, man. I have so many issues with her, but. She, you know, both her and the debate coach are like, do not order any pay-per-view movies. We're all in the same, like, do not do it.
And you know
do not order any movies. Guys, just don't, you know, don't do it.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's one room where it's just like, all right, we've ordered every porno movie for the whole night. And this is the porno watching room. Like,
so you guys get out of here for a minute.
It was like guys and girls were insane, dude. It was insane.
Oh, okay.
But it was like, yeah. So we did you ever go to Harvard for a speech tournament?
No, when I was in junior year, they were just starting to let us out of our cages and put us on leashes. Yeah, that's about
it. I wasn't smart, by the way. You're like, how smart were you? Not very. It's kind of like one of those things where, you know how you get like those really those important players on the football team that you need, they're dumb as fuck.
It's more an extra,
but you just kind of like get them through so that you can win the big game.
Yeah,
it was kind of like that.
It's like the activity, your membership in that club, is as opposed to, well,
no, it was just
not strictly academics.
Yeah, exactly. It's more
you're good for the club, sir.
He's got the goods.
Yeah,
like you know, it was. Yeah, I don't think I was that smart. Every time I say, like, I'm not very smart, Katie, my wife gets, like, all mad, like, you are smart. You write books. You don't know what you do. And I'm like, I know what I do. I'm pretty dumb.
I have never met Katie personally, but I like her
personally.
Already. No, I was trying to think of, like, any time I might have talked to her on the phone or heard her voice, and I don't think I have. But, like, when she says, you don't know what you can
do. Yeah.
That's
She's
funny.
A lovely woman.
I just imagine her slapping the shit out of you, John Wayne, saying, you don't know what you can do.
And hey, man.
You don't know. Shut the fuck up. You don't know.
That's her?
While she's telling you you're
smart. You sure you've never met her before?
Did
you coach her through something? No.
Showed her some moves.
She's awesome. She's the best ever.
That's cool.
But enough about her, because this podcast is not about her.
If she finds out we were talking about her, oh, God.
Oh, she'll love it. Fuck, man. So today wasn't that great.
Nah. Like I've had worse, though. I try to always be a glass half full kind of guy.
I always look at it as...
I've had worse. I've had worse, buddy.
I look at it, and I talk about this a lot on the podcasts, on John May Lie to You and stuff, because I recap it. But, you know, it's like you have good ones, you have bad ones.
Yeah.
You just can't, you can't predict it all the time, and you can't, there's certain things you just can't take into account sometimes, and you just have to, I always learn something, I always have fun.
Yeah.
So.
Well, something we've talked about before, or something you've told me before, is like, you, there's a lot of reward just in getting to know people.
Exactly. And like making the connection.
Making connections.
The connection with people is invaluable.
Relationships.
Yeah, exactly. That's
because you'll see them like
that's what I dig.
Every time you go to one of those that
specific exactly.
Show,
and meet, yeah, and it's awesome. You meet because then these people are like genuinely pretty cool. And then you know, you keep in touch, you make that connection. But also like just us being authors, we're writing books, it's more it's important for us to make those connections because,
yeah,
and I've said it before, you know, we're in these conventions are cinema driven conventions,
yeah,
with the exception of a few.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, excuse me, Scares at Care, it's cinema driven, but very much curated.
Yeah.
For the author writer thing, because, you know, you know, Keane's making
sort of
sure.
By authors for authors, yeah.
Right. And, you know, there's some out there like that. But yeah, for them, at least for me, all the ones that I go to,
yeah,
they are about movies. There's no, you know, yeah, Clive Barker will be the only author that's a yeah celebrity, and he's not necessarily known for, like, the majority of the people that are coming
they're
to see him
talk about his movies instead
of are
his
their movies instead of books. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, we're always singing for our supper, like I said, yeah, and that's why it's very important to make connections with people.
Absolutely.
And that's why I like doing the podcasts, like, you know, this one and then John Wayne Lied to You, because it helps me, like, stay connected with people and people stay connected with me,
yeah,
you know, that I meet, you know, they kind of know what's going on. And then,
yeah,
I don't know. I really like that. I think it's important, especially in what we're doing, and to keep it
absolutely
going. And, you know, it's hard to sell books, man.
Yeah.
It's hard, but
it takes cultivation.
We,
it takes work.
It does take work, and you definitely have to, I mean, you have to be taking it seriously and be, you know, be good at your craft and all that. All
yeah
that kind of stuff is kind of like
yeah
a given when you get at least to the level of this, of like,
yeah, yeah,
you better be a fucking, you know, be yeah able to write if you're coming out with these, all these books.
Yeah, it's like whoever we are, we're always trying to level up to the next thing. You're trying to up your game to something. I'm trying to up my game to something as well.
And that,
everyone's trying to improve.
And that's why I like this group of like friends or that I've kind of made along this journey so far,
yeah,
because everybody, you know, if you want, you know, they say if you want to get better, you surround yourselves with the, you know,
yeah,
better people who are better than you, and
yeah
you'll rise to the occasion. And that's true. And like, that's why I'm saying, like, you know, yes, you do inspire me. Like, there's people that, you know, all I have all these people around me that have inspired me to do
yeah
to do better, to rise to the occasion. And I'm constantly inspired and like, you know, reading things that like my friends and peers are putting out. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, that's fucking good. You know, I gotta,
yeah,
you know, you're like, all right,
same
what's the thing?
Thing?
You know, and not in a competition way at all.
No.
Do not see this as anything competition, but it's like, man, that's fucking good, man. I want to, you know, it just, make, you know, metal sharpens metal, whatever.
Yes.
You know,
I was actually going to say that. I almost look at it as like martial arts. Every, you know, each of us is trying to up our skill as best we can, just
but,
to be the best we can be,
and we all
not to defeat somebody else.
But we all get better taking pieces from what just seeing, like, oh, it's learning all these things from each
yeah
other and putting all that together,
yeah,
and that helps us all like get better.
While mixing
I think
it with what makes us unique.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just
yeah
like you kind of just learn from all these people. And man, that's crazy, because I was writing in my dear diary this morning. No, I was journaling. I've been
yeah
journaling. Do you journal?
No,
at all.
Not journal. Yeah.
You don't?
I probably should.
I mean, you can make fun of people. I don't care. I started doing it like, I think it's like a little over a year.
Oh, you're
now
really like journaling, like, you
yeah
know, you have like,
I have an open document that I just like a Word document.
Oh, like, how long have you been doing it?
It's like, I think a year, a little over a year.
Oh, cool.
And it's like 400 some pages long,
yeah,
and shit. It's like crazy. But I started doing it because I thought it was, well, first it was because I listened to the Audible book of like Nikki Sixx's,
yeah,
from Motley
yeah
Crue's fucking autobiography, and Think
actually,
What You Want about that,
really,
where you're like, ooh, Nikki Sixx. I like Motley Crue, and I like,
oh, yeah,
I like the rock and roll light, like, lifestyle. I read The Dirt as soon as it came out, like
yeah
when the book came out. So I was like, I'm just gonna listen to this. It's like, you know, it's gonna be my Audible
yeah
book this month, and it's read by him, and it's fucking cool, man. It's like
yeah
all this crazy shit. Of course, his life is crazy. It's the Heroin Diaries. It's all about him being on heroin and
yeah
Motley Crue and all their extravagance and shit like that. But what I really was like, I was listening to it and I was like, why am I not journaling every day? Like, I
yeah
should do this. So I just decided, like, you know, I'm going to start. So every day I was just like, you know, put the date and like the day and the time. And if I'm in a different city, I'll put that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know,
sometimes like getting thoughts out.
It's like the first thing I'll do, like when I go to write. Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna journal. So I'll talk about like, sometimes it can be like two paragraphs. Sometimes it'll be like 7 pages.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about all kinds of shit, like partying, like if I partied like super hard, like, oh, I got like, I'll do like, I'll try to be super honest where I'll be like, I got this and I picked up this from this person, da da da, whatever. Yeah. But then like, I'll also talk about like today I was like writing about like, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm tabling with Barbie. We met, you know, and this and that, and our energy works good together. I'm really, you know, kind of like what we were just talking about. Yeah. Like, I like, sometimes I think about all the people that I meet and the peers that I've met, you know, the friends that are my peers. And I think that there's, you know, you make, you know, everybody makes friends and that's fine. And you can be like, oh, I love all you people, but there's a certain people that are just like a little bit closer. Like you have this bond to, and I think it's because there's something, I was writing, like there's something inside of you that recognizes the thing that's inside of you that tells you that it's okay. You know, kind of gives you permission to be like, oh, this is the same. Yeah. Like we kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
And you kind of need like those people that burn super bright because they, attract, they can bring it out of the people that are kind of like, I don't know how to do this exactly. Like, yeah. I was like, for instance, like I said, Jeremy Robert Johnson was my, you know, entrance into Bizarro. Like, and if you've met, and we've met him, we know Jeremy.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
We know him. But so just if you're listening, if you met him, he's very charismatic, very, you know, he's a very outgoing, gregarious, cracking jokes. Some would say obnoxious. I do not. I think it's hilarious, but I've been called obnoxious many times myself.
Some say there's a thin line between funny and annoying, but Jeremy Robert Johnson has just blown that.
He takes the line and he puts it into his dick hole. Like he's loading a musket from back Civil War, and then he blows it all over your face. He blows a line right all over your face and laughs the entire time. Unapologetic. That guy is. But just as an example, he's the kind of guy that, you know, can like, I was able to see like, okay, this is something in, you know what I mean? And it just kind of attracts us to each other. Mm-hmm. And like, and that's why it's so weird for me to say sometimes, like when I do meet, you know, we met the guy that today that was like, oh, hey, do you have any Splatterpunk at your tables? Oh, like, as if he was going to best, like, we were going to be like, Splatterpunk? Never... Hey, what's Splatterpunk, what's Grandpa? That? And, you know, we're like, oh, what do you mean? Like, Skip and Spectre stuff? Like,
Skip.
And then we're like...
And then we said we knew Skip.
We're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're friends with John Skip. But those kind of things do blow my mind sometimes, where I'm like... This, like, I'll think about, like, Jeremy Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
And I'll be like... Okay, this guy really inspired me, and like I, you know, blah blah blah. I've read all this shit, and I was like, and now like we're buds. Like it's nothing to be like. If I saw him, we'd be like, oh, cool man, let's have a beer, and he'd make fun of me, and I'd call him an asshole and make fun of him, and it would be how it is. And then like Skip, dude, I've smoked with Skip a billion. Skip has taken care of me in different cities when we've run into each other for fucking weed and shit, like or just like whatever, and it's. And it's genuinely like these people are genuinely our friends. You know, like Brian Keene, same thing. Like, like I'm like, this dude is my man. Like, I love him. He has done a lot for me.
He's taken that upon himself.
Exactly. Just like, to be he's helped all of so us. Like, and it's like those kind of things are.
And John Skip too. Like, as far as like my Skip approach to all this,
exactly. Yeah,
John Skip is like my inspiration for how I try to be towards people. You know, just.
Just be friendly. Like friendly. Skip's very fucking awesome.
You know, just you put out positivity and you'll get it back. And if you don't, it's not your fault.
I'm very much a do unto others
like
type thing.
Like be a wizard about things like John Skip.
No, it's a chaos magic.
Yeah.
That's what I am, a master chaos magician. I don't know if you knew that about me. My wife told me like when she was like, you know, you do chaos magic all the time. And I was like, what are you talking about? Well, you just say you're going to do these things and then all, and then like they happen. I was like, you know what? I am a chaos. No, but I do believe in like chaos. I have like a whole I have a book on chaos.
I think the
magic
last time I talked about chaos magic was with Jeff Burke.
Yeah,
and we were talking about Grant Morrison and the Invisibles, because we're like we're both into comic books and stuff like that, and I hadn't read the Invisibles because it's like 3 inches thick of like Grant Morrison mindfuckery of what is reality and chaos magic and, you know, conjuring things into existence.
So, but let me ask you this. So when you, like, the people at home can't see this, it's because it's but when you said like 3 inches thick, you put your fingers like by your crotch. Why did you do it?
It's just a reflex.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's,
total reflex.
I was like, oh, that's
I'm not measuring what you think I'm measuring.
Hey, no, you know, I just want to paint the picture for the people at home so they kind of know what's going on. We are in a seedy motel a beachfront seedy motel.
John, wait, look, this taint is ridiculous.
This guy's taint, it's, you know, let's get the kid high.
I got a 5-inch taint. No, that shit. Put that shit on it. That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
what I'm talking about, Mr. Show.
Still my favorite skit.
God, yeah. Man, I was just watching Michael Allen Rose, shouts out. We were watching a bunch of Mr. Show when I was up there. That's one of the things we bond over. But, so what do you got coming out, man? What's next for the barbed wire?
I'm writing something called Carnivorous Tux. It's about a killer tuxedo that latches itself onto like this poor white trash kid who has no class at all.
Yeah.
And so people start treating him with more respect because they see that he's like got class now and he's wearing this wonderful tuxedo. But the tuxedo will also like grab people and eat them with like fangs and claws and talons and stuff like that. So there's a lot of blood in it.
A
lot of like home style drama. You know, kind of an old timey 1940s soap opera type of thing.
And who's putting that out? When does it come out?
I'm not sure when, but I'm submitting it to Bizarro Pulp Press.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
they said send us something. That's what I'm sending them.
Awesome.
And for Accession Press, I'm working on something for them called Coffin Pants. It's about the afterlife. It's about purgatory, which is actually inside the Grim Reaper's pants, which are made out of wood and shaped like a coffin.
Jesus Christ. See, that's what I'm talking about, dude. See, like, that's...
There's a whole world.
Do you hear that, people? That's the Barbie touch, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's on Accession.
That's going to come out through Accession Press.
Accession Press.
Yeah.
And that's Carl and Whitney. Shouts out. Denver. Yes.
Carl Whitney.
Big shouts out. And I do recommend everyone to check out Accession Press. They are new, but that's quality shit they're putting out.
Yeah. They've just come out with their second book. Third one's on the way soon.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So... Yeah. You said you're taking a break from cons for a little bit.
Yeah, to actually get some more writing done.
And we understand that.
Yeah.
The
next thing I probably going to be scheduled for that I know for certain is, I have a small Comic-Con like 45 minutes away from my house to Warner Robins in January. But after that, probably Savannah Mega Comic-Con in July. Cool.
July.
Yeah, not far from this here island right here.
I do declare.
Yeah.
Well, Barbie, where can people that are on my Patreon find you if they want to check out your stuff?
If they want to check out like anything that's happening with me, I'm trying to put everything I do just on my WordPress. It's davidwbarbie.wordpress.com. It's you know, you can find it on the internet.
Does that attach to all your social media too?
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I'm all on that as David W. Barbie.
Sweet.
All of my books can be found on Amazon. My newest one, Laser House in the Prairie, you go to Accession's website, they have like 10 different options of places you can buy it. You can buy it on Walmart.com.
Hell yeah, but all the curse words are blacked out, just like in Tom Sawyer with the N-word.
Yep.
Except they stopped selling the book altogether. That's another podcast, people. Yep. I don't even get into it right now. That's awesome, dude.
Thank you, man.
Love you so much. Thank you for
I love you, John,
tabling with me, and thank you for being a fucking friend and inspiration and mentor, and I love you much. And all my people out there, check out David W. Barbie, and your lives will be exponentially better. Right?
You'll definitely get some culture.
And you'll definitely get some poon. Or dick if you're a lady.
All right, there you go. That was myself and Mr. David W. Barbie waxing poetic and talking about our good times together. So if you liked that, you can subscribe to my Patreon, John Wayne is Dead. Patreon, it's patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. There are links everywhere. If you go to johnwayneisdead.com, I have it linked up there. You can also get things from the shop page right there while you're on the site. To help out and support as well, including my brand new book from Grindhouse Press, The Cycle, which, like I said, should be up there by the time you're listening to this. If not, it will be up there on Tuesday, I'm sure, unless the mail stops or something like that. I'm not sure. But you can check it out there. All of my links and information is there for you as well. All of the show dates, like I said, I have a ton of them. There's little videos that I've done. There's all kinds of my little videos. You know, there's just all kinds of stuff on JohnWayneIsDead.com if you want to get the lowdown on me. Also, don't forget to follow me at JohnWayneIsDead on Instagram and Twitter, and John Wayne Kamianali, which is my name, on the Facebook. So thank you guys so much. Again, I hope you enjoyed this sneak peek of what my Patreon is offering, and I hope to see a lot of you guys over on that side of the Patreon wall. So thanks again, and I will see you guys out there. Mwah!